Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going
to
get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You know what time it is. It's time for Current Sports, coming to you live on this January 29th, 2019. And the weather outside is so frightful, isn't it? Oh, my goodness. I mean, we're talking about the polar vortex that is approaching this area. I think the high is going to be something crazy like -1 degree tomorrow, which is insane. We, of course, got dumped with some more snow yesterday. Multiple schools have been closed here in the Lansing area and beyond. And get this, this like never happens, right? Because it takes a lot for Michigan State University to cancel classes. I mean, you know, there's this video floating around yesterday that I retweeted. I couldn't believe this. But one student was so dedicated that you know, he had to still get to class, that he was actually on skis going to class. So it takes a lot. You know, with the amount of snow that we got this week, still, classes were in session on Monday. But with the amount of snow that we've gotten and, of course, these crazy frigid temperatures that are, again, yeah, you think today's cold, it's going to get worse, folks, that are expected to hit Michigan later on tonight. Get this. Michigan State University is suspending classes beginning at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning at all locations. That's, of course, again, due to the anticipated and sustained severe wind chills, which will be below 20 degrees Fahrenheit. That's great. Negative 20 degrees Fahrenheit. That's crazy. All right. So don't leave the crib unless you have to, unless you do got to go to work and pay the bills, right? But if you do not have to leave the house, please stay in. Stay safe and be smart. All right. And we do have a list of school closings that are already coming in here in the mid-Michigan area due to the anticipated polar vortex coming our way. And again, you can check the updated list throughout the day leading into tomorrow and throughout the week, to be honest with you, simply by going to WKAR.org. I do want to pass along a few schools that have already pulled the plug on classes for tomorrow. The Lansing School District has canceled classes for Wednesday at Dansville Schools, Grand Ledge Public Schools, Hazlitt Public Schools, the Lansing School District. Again, as I just mentioned, Michigan State University's classes are suspended here at Michigan State. The university will still be open. I'll still be rocking the mic tomorrow, all right? I'm going to have to bring, I just may do the show in my jacket tomorrow, right? Also, Okemos Public Schools, Stockbridge Community Schools, and Waverly Community Schools. Right now, that's the update that we have listed on our website at WKAR.org concerning schools that will be closed for Wednesday, January 30th. All right, again, keep it locked to WKAR.org as well as our active Facebook page at Facebook.com/WKAR News as we will update you all throughout the day and, of course, into tomorrow when it comes to any updates concerning the weather and, of course, schools that will be closed. All right. Let's talk some sports now. A lot to get to. Tom Izzo just wrapped up his press conference This morning, well, I should say this afternoon, you know, usually it's every Monday at noon at the Breslin Center, but it was pushed to Tuesday due to, of course, that pesky weather outside. So Tom had a few things to say concerning the loss at Purdue and the season moving forward. Now, this Saturday, Michigan State playing host to, of course, Indiana. That will be a 6 p.m. tip time. ESPN's College Game Day will be in the house. You'll get a chance to hear a bit of what Tom Izzo had to say concerning the loss and how this team plans to move forward.
I was very disappointed in the first half defensively. Yeah. I thought we were a joke.
Yeah, that's basically, that's, you know, Jack Kerman behind the glass. Yeah, that's basically what Tom had to say this afternoon. You know, Tom is always colorful, man. You know, you can't get a press conference that has emotion, that has comedy, that has just blunt honesty. It doesn't get better than Tom Izzo. I don't think he's rivaled by any when it comes to how he rocks the mic after a post game. You know, well, during a post game press conference or doing any press conference for that matter. So you get a chance to hear from Tom Izzo. Also, Super Bowl media day. You know, I guess since we're on the subject of mics and talking to the press, right? Well, Super Bowl media day is done unlike any media day in sports. It is truly an event. It's not these hardcore questions about what's the game plan coming into the Super Bowl. It's some of that. You know, some reporters still have a job to do, and they have to talk about the game and break down the X's and the O's. But Super Bowl media day is incredibly relaxed, and you get questions that you don't normally get in preparation for a normal Sunday game, right? So there was a really cool moment I want to play for you all. You'll get a chance to hear that, and we'll have some fun when it comes to Super Bowl media day and a few takeaways from that scene yesterday in Atlanta. And then on the back end of the show, a former NBA great who is now making his mark in the college basketball coaching ranks has taken some shots at a few of the coaches, other college basketball coaches here in the nation. And it's a really interesting story on a few levels. I got some points I want to make about that. We'll talk about all of that and so much more while, of course, inviting you all to be a part of the hour. Multiple ways in which you can join the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also, again, watch the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can tweet the show at WKAR News now. We're getting rid of WKAR_sports. And you can tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. You know what's next?
I'm a rat's ass about Twitter.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's Twitter, right? Jack, you're on it with these sound bites, man. You know, I really wish, you know, we had the technology for me to push a few buttons in here. I tell you, that would make
it funnier. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, definitely. All right, let's hit them with our quick hit headliners. For the second week in a row and fourth time this year, Cassius Cash Money Winston has won Big Ten Player of the Week. Winston averaged 20 points, 7 assists, 3 boards, and he shot 47% from deep in the Spartans' 3 games last week against Maryland, Iowa, and, of course, against Purdue to close out that really busy week for the Spartans. Michigan State went 2-1 in those 3 games against those opponents. Cassius Winston is the only player in the country averaging at least 18 points per game. Mind-blowing stuff there. All right, ESPN's College Game Day is coming to East Lansing this Saturday, February 2nd. as Michigan State prepares to take on the Indiana Hoosiers later on that night at the Breslin. This is ESPN's fifth time airing the show from the Breslin Center, the most of any Big Ten venue. Again, the familiar faces on the broadcast include Reese Davis, analyst Jay Billis, Seth Greenberg, and Jay Williams. Now, they will be going live at 11 a.m. from inside the Breslin Center. And again, as I mentioned, tip time for that matchup against Indiana will be 6 p.m. And I believe doors open for you all, for fans who are trying to attend that broadcast and see yourself on national TV. I believe doors open somewhere around like 7 a.m. Okay, so bottom line, get there early. It's a fun time. I actually had the privilege of pumping up the crowd the last time ESPN College Game Day was here. And, you know, we had some fun stuff like trivia. There was, you know, like a shooting competition. Just fun stuff. So, again, well, actually, I'm looking here now. Doors open at 9:30 a.m. Admission, totally my favorite word, F-R-E-E, totally free. All right, so 9:30 a.m. is when the doors are open and the broadcast again begins at 11 a.m. All right, the Michigan Wolverines will play host to the Ohio State Buckeyes tonight. A late start, 9 p.m. Michigan currently ranked fifth in the nation. Ohio State comes in unranked. The Buckeyes, fresh off a road win at Nebraska last Saturday after a five-game losing streak. The Wolverines coming off two wins against Minnesota and Indiana. Offensively, no player averages more points than Michigan's Ignas Brazdeikis. He averages 15.2 points per game, hitting 46% of his shots at a 35% clip from beyond deep. All right, and get this. Michigan football fourth-year junior defensive lineman Reuben Jones has entered his name into the transfer portal. Jones confirmed the news to the Detroit Free Press last night after entering the portal earlier in the day. He plans to finish his degree in Michigan in May, and once he graduates, he will be eligible for a grad transfer, meaning that he will be immediately able to play come 2019 season. Now, Jones, per Michigan football spokesperson Dave Abloff, he plans to work with Michigan through spring ball and continue to weigh his options from there. He appeared in five games as a redshirt freshie in 2016 and six games the following year as a redshirt sophomore. Last year, he saw snaps in five games, made seven tackles. All right, the first place Milwaukee Bucks are coming to Detroit tonight to face the Detroit Pistons for their fourth and final matchup this season between these two teams. Detroit is still trying to find their niche this year with hopes to defeat the Beast of the East. The Pistons need Blake Griffin to produce like he has this past month. He is averaging 31 points, 5 assists on this month of January. The Bucks are looking to start a new win streak, which will be helpful since the next three games after this are also on the road. The Bucks are expecting Malcolm Brogdon to be available. Rookie Dante DiVincenzo, he is out. The Pistons will be missing Reggie Bullock with an ankle injury, and Ish Smith, who has an abductor problem. All right, the game tonight, 6 p.m. at Little Caesars Arena. Also, the Pistons are reportedly interested in Memphis Grizzlies big man Mark Gasol.
He's an
averaging.
Idiot.
Yeah, I don't get that, Jack. That's a timely bite, dude. I mean, the Pistons right now, you don't watch the team, but if anything, they need guard help. But Mark Gasol, great player. Great player. Bona fide all star, right? Three-time all star. And he's consistent as well. But you got Andre Drummond and you got Blake Griffin down low doing work. I don't get it. But hey, 15.4 points per game is what he's averaging. Eight rebounds as well, shooting 44% from the field, 36% from the three-point line. Don't get that. For Memphis, rumored that, you know, they could get center Andre Drummond, who is the NBA's leading rebounder, who's not as offensively talented as Gasol, but I hope this trade doesn't go through. I hope it's just a rumor. Jared Salt.
For the record, sorry to cut you off, but your buddy James Edwards said was, he said yesterday that this actually occurred a couple weeks ago to his knowledge, and nothing came of it.
So this is just a rumor. Just
yeah, they were inquiring about Gasol a while ago, but I don't think anything's going to materialize.
I hope not.
Yeah.
It will be an idiotic move.
Makes no sense.
It makes no sense at all. All right, Jared Saltalamacchia has retired from the MLB after 12 years. The veteran catcher confirmed that news to The Athletic. He played for the Tigers back in 2016. Also, Detroit Tigers legend Kirk Gibson, who was named to the club's television broadcasting team this month, has added additional duties to his job description. He will serve as special assistant to Tigers general manager Al Avila. This role is one that will allow Gibson to work in an on-field capacity at all levels of the organization while participating in personnel meetings with the front office. Gibby, a Michigan native, played 12 years for the Tigers and was a member of the 1984 World Series team.
What college football team did Kirk Gibson play
Michigan
for?
Michigan State. Come on now.
What position did he play?
Wide receiver.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, come on now.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
fair enough.
Really, I do this. I have to know that at least. I could care less about the Red Wings, but I know about Kirk Gibson.
Well, I know you're not always a big baseball guy, so.
Yeah, I watch it in the playoffs. So
yeah.
I love MLB playoffs.
Fair enough.
You know, his son went here too, Cam. Cam Gibson.
Oh, really?
You didn't know that?
No.
I should have flipped that on you, brother.
All right, all right, all right. You win. You win. Steve Yzerman.
Yeah, Cam is actually, oh, man, he's playing professionally. Oh, man, I forget where. But, yeah, he's a good player as well. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can join the hour. You're doing nothing. You probably got a snow day. You probably got the off day from work or you left early, right? So call in. Be a part of the hour. I want to hear from you guys. 517-355-WKAR. You can weigh in at our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Let's keep it pushing.
Now, Coach Bill, can you sign my Tom Brady cookbook? Everybody sign.
Yeah, when I get done, I'll sign it. Yeah.
No, right now. Here.
Just
real
be
quick.
Patient, buddy. Just be patient. When I'm done, I'll sign it. It's an interview session.
I gotta go to a restroom.
Well, go ahead and go then. You don't need my permission for that.
No, I just need your signature.
I'll sign when I get done with the interview, okay? This is an autograph session. It's an interview session. You got it? Great. Next.
Hey, Tom, can you sign my cookbook?
You bought that?
Yeah. Can you sign it for me?
Of course I can.
Hey, can you pass it to him, please?
You said that was your cookbook?
Yeah. It's your cookbook. To Guillermo.
I'm just going to sign my name, man. That's going to take like 10 minutes to write. You can write it on there yourself.
All right.
That'll be very unique.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Hey, Nick, have you read Tom's Brady new book? Your cookbook?
I'm sure it's a great book. I have not read it, though.
Well, you know, they say that you're not a good quarterback until you come with a cookbook.
I guess I don't have a cookbook, so that means, you know, I don't know.
Your attention, please. The media session has concluded.
Remember, you said you're going to sign my book after the interview. <session. laughs> Thank you, Coach. Can I give you a hug for good luck?
There you go.
Can I give you a hug for good luck?
I'm good.
High five. Thank you, Coach. Good luck.
Super Bowl Media Day. We're going to have some fun with that later on this hour. That was Guillermo, who is like Jimmy Kimmel's right-hand man on the Jimmy Kimmel Late Night Show. And that was a snippet, actually, from Guillermo having some fun with the New England Patriots during Super Bowl Media Day last year. And I wonder what Guillermo did this year. I thought that was actually this year's bite. I didn't look at the date when I was cutting that. But still, hilarious stuff as Guillermo asked. And you kind of get a feel for how Super Bowl Media Day is when you listen to that, right? It's really relaxed. I mean, it's a whole spectacle. I mean, it's like a concert. You know, you got the cheerleaders there. The players engage in these really cool battles on the field that are really relaxed. It's just a fun time. And it's Super Bowl week, one of my favorite weeks in all of the sporting calendar as the L.A. Rams and the New England Patriots get ready to get it on come this weekend. I'll have some of the highlights from Super Bowl Media Day later on this hour. And Jack, you were just telling me, we were just having this conversation as that snippet was playing, and you were telling me that some of the guys from Barstool Sports, which you are a fan of, I've listened to them a few times on SiriusXM, they are, let's just say they push the envelope of sports talk radio. Let's just say that. So much so that you told me that one of them got arrested yesterday, and I'm seeing here on TMZ, I'm not sure if this is a separate story from what you're talking about, but TMZ Sports is reporting that Barstool Sports stars are banned from the Super Bowl over fake press passes, which is a clear no-no. Is that the story you're talking about? You're talking about something different, I'm assuming, right?
I guess I didn't hear that they got banned from the Super Bowl. You're saying they got banned from the Super Bowl this year?
Yeah.
The one on Sunday?
This story came through this morning at 8:30 a.m.
Okay.
Courtesy of TMZ Sports. Barstool Sports stars banned from Super Bowl over fake press passes.
So there's no way they don't try to get in.
Well, of course. I mean, they're crazy. Those dudes are crazy. Again, pushing the envelope of sports talk radio, that's putting it very nicely, all right? But there was another incident. You were saying that one guy handcuffed himself?
Yeah, a couple of years ago. So El Prez, Dave Portnoy, the guy who founded Barstool, all the main guys from Barstool who founded it are Boston-based. So when Deflategate was going on a couple of years ago, we can argue the merits of Deflategate and, you know, how serious it was, whether it was a witch hunt or not, how serious it needed to be taken. But basically, all the guys from Boston at Barstool thought it was a sham. And so during the trial, El Presidente and a couple of the other guys who were Boston-based went to the NFL headquarters and handcuffed themselves.
Pause. His name is El Presidente?
Yeah. Dave Portnoy, the Prez. El Presidente.
Call him El Presidente.
El Prez.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah, El Prez and some of the other Boston guys handcuffed themselves to the floor of the NFL HQ. So this actually wouldn't have been the first time they'd gotten arrested. But it looks it looks like Portnoy got in under a credential under the name Freddie Linden. And
is that a made-up name?
Yeah, Freddie, I guess
Linden.
So.
And that then, sounds made up. Okay.
Yeah, and then he was wearing a hat that said, I heart Goodell, which couldn't be farther from the truth. But, yeah, so I guess they're not allowed to go to the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Oh, Barstool Sports. And you know, I remember when ESPN announced, like, a partnership with Barstool Sports, and then something came out about one of the shows having a snippet in which that again was very, again, just totally disrespectful and rude. That's what Barstool is all about, though. I mean, that's what they do there. But it crossed the line with, I believe, one of the ESPN anchors, and I'm forgetting who
it was.
Sam Ponder.
Ponder. I think part of the debate as far as that was concerned was that happened in 2011 or 2012. And basically what Portnoy said was he used a word to describe her that in 2018, 2019 probably was less acceptable than in 2011 and 2012. And he didn't mean to describe her the way that he did.
It's just stupid. You just don't do that. Come on now. That's
so
pretty obvious.
So, you know what? Right. To be honest, I was always surprised that partnership happened to begin with.
I was surprised, too. I never thought that was going to work.
And
it just shows to me when it happened and it was announced, it just showed how desperate ESPN is.
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to figure out this whole rating situation with them. That they're losing subscribers, it seems, by the hour. I mean, it's really bad. So there you have that. All right, we'll talk more about Super Bowl Media Day later on this hour. A lot I want to get to, though. And again, I just want to remind you all, the weather outside is just crazy. And, you know, this, like, never happens, Jack. I mean, when it comes to canceling classes at Michigan State University, the university, Michigan State usually doesn't do that. It happened one time when I was in college, and maybe one other time since I've graduated, and this will probably be the third occurrence that I can remember, at least. But it's going to be really bad outside. The high tomorrow, I was reading, is going to be -1. There's a polar vortex that will be affecting this area and many areas here in the Midwest, so be safe. But classes have been canceled for Michigan State students. I'm pretty sure many of you will be turning up tonight, you know, after hearing that news, I'm sure. It's Michigan State. and the university, with classes being canceled, just want to note that the university will still be open. All right, current sports still in the air. We'll still be rocking with you. And if you want an update when it comes to our school closing list, when it comes to schools here in the greater Lansing area, please visit WKAR.org and go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. We'll be keeping that list updated throughout the day and, of course, into tomorrow as well. All right. What I want to do right now, though, is play you some audio from Tom Izzo's MSU men's basketball press conference that happened this afternoon. Again, normally it happens on Monday, but the weather was so bad Monday that they actually pushed it to today. And we'll have the entire press conference audio available at WKAR.org. Our very own Kyle Turk was there for that presser. But we have audio for you right now. I just want to play a bit of what Izzo had to say, as we pretty much broke down and we had some really strong takes concerning yesterday's recap of the Michigan State loss at Purdue. And a great conversation, too, with Kyle Turk, as well as current sports engineer every Monday and Wednesday, Connor Mathis. Interesting game on a lot of different levels. And, you know, we kind of debated which is the bigger story, right? The fact that Purdue did upset Michigan State at Mackey Arena, or was the bigger story the comeback? Michigan State storming back in that second half after being down 23 points. So Izzo has had some time to digest what happened on Sunday. And to make things a bit worse, you know, Izzo also noted in this presser that on the plane ride back, there was a malfunction with the plane. So I don't think the plane got up in the air because of the weather. And they actually had to, I believe they took a bus back to East Lansing, and a few of the players are sick. I believe he said Nick Ward has the flu. so to add insult to injury, yeah, the travel back to EL was not a fun one. This is a bit of what Tom Izzo had to say, hitting on multiple areas of the loss to Purdue and a few other noteworthy points that he makes. So here's a bit of what Tom Izzo had to say this afternoon.
Tom, obviously freshmen are just that, they're freshmen, but now that you're entering the second half of the Big Ten, do you see it as this is what I'm going to get, or do you see if I need to expand them more, especially with injuries, if I'm going to make a deep March run? Have you even made that decision yet?
Well, the decision is they got to get better, and, you know, I think Aaron has gotten a little bit better. I think the other guy that's got to get better that maybe is not quite ready for yet is Gabe, but it is what it is, you know. It's the injuries are what they are. You know, there's 54 minutes of basketball players not playing right now out of the 200 minutes that we play. And so we do got to get them better. And that's what practice is needed for. And that's what today, tomorrow, Friday, Thursday will be for, to try to get those guys work on some offensive things. You're not going to get guys to be necessarily a better shooter and better this, but to understand things, they're going to have to spend more time. We're going to have to spend more time because this is a good enough team, but we've been dealt a tough couple of blows. And He's just, you know, probably throughout a season, everybody goes through it. There's been teams out there that haven't had any injuries, but there's still a long part of the season left. You know, you look at a poor team like Minnesota early had a bunch. Indiana had some early. You look at what happened to Nebraska and Copeland. I talked to Tim Miles Saturday or Sunday, and, you know, I mean, it was just criminal. I actually talked to the kid. He gave me his number because it, you know, I hate when kids have season-ending injuries like that, and that's going to change their team a lot. So we just got to make sure we get the freshmen as ready as they can be. I'm even going to look at, you know, Bingham and Thomas Kithier a little bit more. I don't know why our bigs, you know, it's going to be a little. Nick's going to have to do some things defensively, rebounds or cutouts. I mean, we're going to have to improve in some areas. And yet I say that everybody in the country has to improve, and that's why we're rated still top 10 teams in both our offensive and defensive efficiencies, which is probably we've been more solid there than any team I've had, which doesn't really add up. But it is what, you know, the facts are. At least the analytical people say that. My eye test doesn't always feel that way, but the analytics do. So we got to get them better.
You mentioned about the bigs and the issues that they had at Purdue, but that seems like it's been – was that more of a one-game thing with them right now compared to where
they
come from a year ago?
I haven't liked the consistency. I don't think Xavier's played quite as well as he's been playing. Kenny's been playing pretty well, and Nick's been a little more inconsistent on – you know, he's been really good, and then he's – you know, a little bit less consistent. But you got to understand, when you take a couple of cogs out of the wheel, you know, if you remove five spokes from a bike, the wheel doesn't work as well. And whether anybody wants to hear it, I don't really care. But we took two of our best shooters out of the lineup. So they're going to guard Nick different. They're going to guard Cash different. You know, Duke lost a guard. And they've got more talent than Carter got liver pills. And they struggled in the next couple games, you know. It's the way it is. So some of Nick's things that happen with these guys are because other people are out. You know, quarterbacks aren't as good if they don't have the best receivers or the line blocking for them, as we learned last year. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to make excuses for it. It is a reality. And the reality is people can do more to Nick when we don't have those two shooters. So we got to devise a couple of new ways to do some things, and we got to get the freshmen to become better shooters, and we got to pray that we get some of those guys back.
You mentioned the efficiency numbers offensively, and they might have, I'm not looking at from the whole year, they might have been better earlier, but how, number one, how have they been able to stay so good missing guys like that? And do you feel like it started to go down a little bit because people maybe now are adjusting, saying, well,
yes,
I don't have these guys?
Yes, I do. That's a very good point. One of the few very good points you guys come up with. Just kidding. I do think that is it. You know, I think it's amazing that we could lose McQuaid for four games and Kyle for I don't know how many now. How many is he lost? Four or five, huh? No. Josh, seven and eight and Kyle, three or four, you know, and then when they're back, you know, they're not always the same. But that's all at one position, you know, kind of those wing guys that are all shooters. And, you know, we started looking at it. We were taking like seven or eight less threes a game. Well, Josh took seven himself. And so those things, you know, you adjust to. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to fall on our face either. We just got to make adjustments to it. And we're going to have to learn how to deal with it and do a little bit better job of getting the ball around. And I think our rebounding, our defensive rebounding has to improve. And that has nothing to do with those guys. I mean, Josh is a good rebounder and Kyle's a good rebounder. But that's where our bigs got to do a better job. They got to take some of that burden on, because then we can still get our break going, which I think has been very good and led to some of those issues. Now, team's getting a lot of rebounds against us on the offensive end bothers me, but I'm also cognizant that we've been defending so well in general that there's more misses to get. Now, I look at it as more opportunities to get our rebound and fast break. But the opposition, you know, if they're not shooting the ball well against you, they kind of take the chance, like I did early in my career, and say, let's make the missed shot part of your offense and go and do that. So that's, I think people are adjusting, though, a little bit. But we're going to adjust this week, too, because we got some time to do some things.
Tom, we've talked a little bit in the past about playing Cassius more off the ball. Is that something that you could look into more, even if he's playing the same minutes? Does allowing him to do that, does that save him a little bit when he's on the floor, or does that all come back to Foster, I guess? Is that something you're considering at all right now, or is that not a solution?
You know, I don't know how to say this the right way, so I'm going to just say it as bluntly as I can say it. We had five freshmen that we got. And we think all five of those freshmen have a chance to be very, very good players. They didn't come in as McDonald's All-Americans. They weren't coming in as people that we thought we were going to play immediately. Almost none of them. We had eight guys deep. We thought we'd get some help from a guy or two here. We knew Marcus Bingham had to gain 30 pounds, you know, maybe to get into a uniform. You know, we knew that. And we were fine with that. We understood that Gabe had to do the same thing, you know. We really understood that about Foster. And it's been an adjustment for him. He's a smart kid that's going to pick it up. And if I say it wrong, then you think I'm giving up on a guy. Make sure you understand I'm not giving up on anybody. I mean, Cassius Winston, Draymond Green played 11 minutes a game as a freshman, you know. We would have probably played McQuaid at the point a little bit more, especially against certain teams. We don't have the luxury of doing that because the other two people at his position are not there. So Cassius is going to turn into an Iron Man. What I was most impressed with was Cassius is as the game wore on and he wore down, he became stronger. That is a great sign for him.
So, again, Tom Izzo, a bit of what he had to say during his Tuesday afternoon press conference at the Breslin Center. A few fiery responses there when addressing his team. And I totally get what Izzo is saying. I mean, the fact that Michigan State right now is sitting as still a top 10 program, you know, number six again this week in the Associated Press poll and in the latest coaches poll, Michigan State sits at number eight. The fact that Michigan State, despite the loss to Purdue, has been able to find different ways to win and to watch other players step up in light of the fact that they do not have Josh Langford and haven't had Josh Langford since December 29th is pretty amazing. But I'm feeling like a lot of Spartan fans are reaching a point of frustration. Because it's been a long time since we've seen Josh Langford on the basketball court, and we don't know what his status is going to be come this weekend against Indiana. If I was a betting man, I would bet that we won't see Josh Langford for yet another game. And I am feeling that Spartan fans are getting a bit frustrated because there is no clarification right now as to what truly is wrong with Josh Langford. You know, we had this debate on the show yesterday. This is more than just a sprained ankle. You know, I've had many sprained ankles when I was playing basketball. I'm not trying to really compare my injuries from high school and elementary school to that of Josh Langford playing Division I basketball here at Michigan State University. But when looking at Josh's recovery time from this ankle injury, and when comparing it to other injuries in the D1 and even professional level in the National Basketball Association, this is more serious than just a sprained ankle. You know, I kind of felt that we were going to see Josh soon. Last week, Monday, after the win against Maryland, when Izzo rocked the mic and said that, yeah, Josh, you know, in the last few days, there was a day in which he had the boot off. He was present during shoot around. He had the boot off for actually three-fourths of the day, but we did not see Josh at all during those three games last week, and his status is still up in the air. And I don't think Michigan State can have a deep run come March if they do not have Josh Langford. Simple as that. Don't expect this team to go deep into the Sweet 16. If they do, it will be one of the greatest coaching performances we have ever seen from Tom Izzo. But It was really glaring just how much Michigan State missed Josh Langford when you look at specifically that Purdue game and the first half of that Purdue game. This team needs Josh Langford back. Nick Ward, again, as I mentioned, he has the flu. Tom Izzo mentioned that during his press conference. Izzo also gave a lot of props to ESPN's College Game Day coming this Saturday and said that Jay Billis and Seth Greenberg have been his friends for a long time. And he also went on to say that, you know, those guys get lumped in to ESPN's news division, and they got lumped into ESPN's news division last year when Izzo and head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, were lumped in with Larry Nassar, and Izzo went on to call game day, quote, part of the healing process. So that was interesting. Izzo was also asked about, you know, Josh Langford, what he's been contributing, you know, since he's not been, again, a part of the in-game process. And he's been an assistant coach for the team, Izzo said. He's been helping out with out-of-bounds plays. He's also been very active in the huddles and at halftime. Izzo went on to say, quote, he's gained an incredible amount as a leader, because he figured out that I've got to make up for what I can't do while not playing, of course. So I think that's interesting. I think there are ways to grow, even though you're not playing. You look at the game a bit different, and you can see it a bit different if you're on the bench next to the coaching staff and other players. And you know, that's something I always have flashbacks to when Miles Bridges had his injury while here at Michigan State University. And, you know, he grew and saw the game from a different lens and a different perspective when he was on that bench next to Izzo and the other coaches. Also, yeah, I guess the question was asked to Tom Izzo about, you know, fans out there who may be complaining about the Purdue loss and not happy with it. And Izzo went on to say, quote, if Michigan State people are complaining that we are 18-3, shame on you. And I'm totally with Izzo. You know, I go back to yesterday's Current Sports. We had James just popping off on our Facebook live stream, and he was very angry about the game. And I still think, again, there's still some hangover effect. Many Spartan fans are still not over what happened in March, that second-round loss to Syracuse. And there is still a glaring hangover effect that Spartan fans, frankly, will not get over until March does come and until the Spartans make a legit deep run. Until then, all the wins, all the, you know, the streak and the 21 straight Big Ten games, that, you know, that record dating back to last season, that means nothing. And, you know, to that I say, Jack, I can kind of feel him on that.
Yeah, you know what? It's not just that. It's not just last year either. It goes back to Middle Tennessee as well.
These last few years, yeah. Right? You know, Michigan State fans, there's a certain expectation that has been built here and that Tom Izzo has built here. Michigan State fans are not going to be happy with all of the wins in the Big Ten Conference, and then when the postseason comes, you can't get the job done. And I can't blame you. I cannot blame you. But to sit there and bash the team, though, again, you also have to be realistic with this stuff. To bash the team after a great run in the Big Ten, to have a hiccup, we knew the hiccup was coming. You know, you haven't had Josh Langford, and you've been still finding ways to win. Cassius has been playing out of his mind. You play three quality opponents in 1 week, and you have a hiccup on the back end of that week. Against a really legit team, I believe, on the road at Mackey Arena in Purdue, to bash the Spartans because of that loss, I think is also not being realistic, Jack. I think that's crazy to me. I don't know. Was it a bad loss? Yeah, it was a bad loss. Nick Ward completely taken out the game. Got to have more from him. There was no offensive production to help out Cassius Winston at that game. The comeback was remarkable. But you have games like that in the Big Ten. Things like that are going to happen, especially when you look at how Purdue played in that game. It was great. So there has to be a sense of logic here when having this conversation as well. And I totally feel where Izzo is coming from. Michigan State people complaining that this team is 18-3. Yeah, shame on you. I can see both sides here. I don't know. All right. What I want to do, I want to hit our first break here. When we come back, I want to talk about the Super Bowl. And also, Izzo was asked about the Super Bowl. This is kind of funny. Izzo was asked if he likes the Patriots or the Rams come this Super Bowl Sunday. And Izzo went on to say, quote, never bet against Belichick or Brady, especially when there's a Spartan as a backup quarterback. Again, Brian Hoyer is the backup to Tom Brady.
You got Brian Allen on the Rams, though.
You do. So you can go both ways with that, I guess, right, Jack? So we'll talk Super Bowl Media Day when we come back from this first break. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
I found my home. Shorty made me feel at home. She made me leave the thrills at home, and I'm fine with it. She really made me lose control. I'ma let my love unfold. We're just two lost souls, but we're fine with it.
All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You just heard a bit of what Tom Izzo had to say concerning the loss to Purdue on Sunday. Michigan State trying to rebound. I don't think this game will be close, Jack, this Saturday against Indiana. Michigan actually just dismantled the Hoosiers not too long ago, a few days ago, actually. And speaking of Michigan, again, the Michigan Wolverines will be playing host to the Ohio State Buckeyes tonight at the Chrysler Center. All right, before we talk about Super Bowl Media Day here, those who are watching courtesy of Facebook Live at facebook.com/WKAR News, you guys know that we have been introducing you all these past few days here on Current Sports to a few of the new voices and faces of the Journalism 418 class that we've been working with now for 5 years, which is hard to believe. These incredible group of students who have been providing content for us. They are beat reporters in the local community, giving you content that you can't get anywhere else. And right now, I just basically want to introduce another one of those faces. We have live here in Studio S with us, Natalie Kerwin, no relation to Jack, who is behind the glass. You guys have the same pronunciation of your last name, but it's spelled differently, right?
Yeah, hers is spelled weird.
Hers is spelled weird. I don't know. I think she would debate about that right now, Jack. Okay. But Natalie is in studio with us right now. Natalie, we are so glad to have you a part of the Current Sports family. How are you doing? I hope you're staying warm, right?
Yes, I'm good. I just found out that we don't have school tomorrow, so I'm on cloud nine right now.
Snow day,
yes,
right?
Snow day.
I do miss those. I do miss those. All right, Natalie, just tell us a bit about where you're from, how you ended up here at Michigan State, and why you want to cover, sports broadcasting or sports journalism.
Yeah, so I'm a junior here at Michigan State. I'm from Milford, Michigan, so in the metro Detroit area, an hour northwest. I came to Michigan State because of its amazing journalism program. I know there's so many alumni from here and so many people I know actually that have just graduated and gone into the field and many other different fields, and everyone just loves what Michigan State has to offer. But what I've discovered so far at my time here is just how great the opportunities are here, like working right now for you in the studio. I mean, that's amazing. I never thought I'd be able to work for a radio station. I guess it's an aspect of journalism that I haven't worked with yet. I guess I've done broadcast and writing, but I haven't done anything with radio. So
right. This
is a really cool opportunity, especially with Journalism 418, the class that we're able to come in here and work with you.
And I want to ask you, Natalie, when it comes to, I'm always interested in the stories of you guys when it comes to how your interest peaked and you know, why you wanted to cover sports. How did that start for you?
Yeah, well, I feel like most people that are in sports journalism, they'll say, oh, I've always loved sports since I was little. And that's the same for me. But I grew up playing three different sports. I was a three-letter varsity athlete in high school.
Right.
And I've always just loved listening to sports and watching and playing. And actually, my senior year, I was in a senior speech class that everyone was required to take in high school. Mm. And every week we'd have to just get up in front of the class and kind of just go up there, and the teacher would give us a topic and we'd just have to talk about whatever it may be, whether it's sports or general news or the weather or whatnot.
Right.
And my professor came, not my professor, my teacher would tell me week after week, you know, what are you going to major in college? Like, do you know where you're going to go? Do you know what you're going to do? Because I really think you should look into journalism. Like, you're great at the writing pieces you do for me. And, you know, when you go up in front of the class, you're very good with your words and the way you talk and just whatnot. So that kind of sparked my interest in journalism because I had never thought of it before. So after that, one of my family friends actually was the former assistant news director at Channel 7 in Detroit. So
nice.
She actually let me come in and job shadow for the day, and I got to sit with the sports department because that was kind of my interest when I thought of what I wanted to do in
right.
journalism.
And who was working there at the time? Was Brad Galley still
Brad
there?
Brad Galley, yep. Justin Rose and Casey Hollins.
Gotcha.
She's not there anymore. So it was all three of them, and I got to sit down
hold on. Casey
them.
Hollins isn't there anymore? Where'd Casey
no,
go?
I don't know, but I saw
man.
I follow her on Instagram, and
okay.
I should see what she's up to. But she said just about, I want to say not even a year ago that she was leaving. So I'm not sure what she's doing now.
Gotcha. Okay.
I know they got a new news director at Channel 7, so I don't know if they kind of switched things around
right.
with people there and whatnot. But yeah, so that kind of doing that job shadow and having that class my senior year kind of sparked my interest in journalism. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know a lot about it. But I've always just loved sports. And to me, that's the most exciting part of journalism because you're always going to have news, but sports to me is just, there's always something new. It's exciting.
And it's happy. And like you said, it's exciting.
Yes.
It's happy. I knew very early, you know, I was talking to you guys last week about this, you know, when I interned at Home TV and I had to cover news while also doing sports.
Wow.
I knew very early I just couldn't do news. It's just so, sometimes it's very depressing and you got to cover really tough, gut-wrenching stories, and they sometimes merge because with the Larry Nassar stuff that we covered last year, you're gonna those two worlds do collide from time to time. But for the most part, when covering sports, you know you're covering games, you always have winners, right?
Yes.
Even though the team you may be covering is feeling down and out, and they may have lost that game, there's always a winner. It's exciting. It's just a different feel. That's
exactly.
Awesome, though, Natalie.
Yeah.
So I want to dive into what you'll be covering this semester for our listeners, for our viewers out there. What is your beat?
So my beat is sports gambling, which is a very exciting topic.
Awesome.
I know. So I'm lucky to be covering that beat.
Yeah.
I actually just completed my first story, so hopefully that'll be getting published for WKAR within the next few weeks. But my first story was just kind of about sports gambling and, you know, what it would mean for the state of Michigan if it were to be legalized, because that's such a big topic right now.
Right.
Michigan's one of those up-and-coming states that could be legalizing it very soon.
I think
they
will.
We're not sure when, and I believe they will too.
Right.
So I spoke to a ticket writer actually out in Las Vegas and also a writer for a magazine called Gaming Today, and they gave me some great insight as to kind of what they've been hearing out in Vegas, and they have both told me that Michigan is one of the hot topics right now as far as what states are going to be next. So
that's an awesome beat.
Yes.
I'm kind of jealous that you're covering that.
I know. I'm very excited.
Well, we got to get you on the air on the reg now, because I think this is something, Jack, that this is going to change the game. This is already changing the game of sports now today. More and more often, when you listen to sports shows out there, nationally syndicated programs, they're telling you the line now. And they're not, it used to be like taboo to do that. You know, what's the line of the game?
Mm-hmm.
It's very open now. I mean, heck, Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter, he's got, what's the segment called? You know, the gambling segment that he has now. He has a gambling bit where
Bad Beats, I think, is where it goes over
beats.
The guys
Thank
who
you.
Lose. Yeah.
Bad Beats, where he's talking about, you know, lines and you know, those who have money on a game losing all their money or winning a lot of money, depending on what side you bet on. It is becoming so common now. Natalie, I'm looking forward to that first story. Thank you so much.
Yes, you're welcome.
That's awesome stuff. Again, Natalie Kerwin into his house. You'll be joining us throughout this semester. Let's hit our final break, Jack. When we come back, again, we'll just have some final thoughts on finally on Super Bowl Media Day. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Thank you. Oh man, Jack, I didn't want to cut him off. I just let that ride.
No, it's a good thing you did. I only had like 5 or 6 seconds left on it.
So you didn't cut up the whole song? Oh man, George.
I do need to. I cut it at like 12:58 today. I was pressed for time.
Really?
So yeah.
George Michael's "Careless Whisper," one of my favorite joints. I used that for a recent Instagram video. We were talking, Jack, and one of the some of the most stupid videos get the most views. This was a class project. I'm taking, like, a lot of people knows I'm a student still. I'm taking two classes on the side, and I had a video project I had to put together. And, you know, the video project was very comical. And I'm like, man, that's, you know, I can use, you know, because I'm a big fitness guy, or trying to be at least, and trying to get on my health tip. And, you know, I had a cheat moment where I saw a donut and I'm like, you know what? I really want this donut right now. Long story short, I used the video project and spliced in my love for donuts, and I used this track. You said that you had never heard this song until, what, Deadpool?
I just didn't know what it was called before Deadpool. I had familiarity with the song.
So you knew the song.
Yeah, like, I mean, everyone knows that sax riff, right?
You know George Michael and what he means to music then. Okay, that's awesome stuff. All right, this always happens, Jack. You know, I have stuff planned, and sometimes we just don't get to it, but Super Bowl Media Day. Did you have a favorite moment of Super Bowl Media Day? I'm gonna dive more into this tomorrow. Did you watch Super Bowl Media Day at all?
Not a ton of it. Some of the Barstool stuff would have been my favorite, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll dive more into that on tomorrow's Current Sports. I think there were some really cool and interesting moments, all right? And shout out to the Patriots. They all came out in, like, cutoff hoodies to, of course, pay homage to head coach Bill Belichick, which I thought was kind of cool, all right? Great show. We'll be back at it on the Wednesday edition of Current Sports, folks. Until then, stay warm and be easy, people.